Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. I'm your host, Lavina Polite, and it feels so good to be back on the air this evening. God is good. We do have a wonderful show lined up for you this evening. We're going to have two special guests that will be joining us. We're going to wait for them to call in. They have to press the one button to go on the air with us. But once they call in, I'll just allow them to introduce themselves. and they can share their testimony and a little bit, you know, about themselves to get you more acquainted with who they are. But before we get started, we're just going to open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer, just ask me, please continue to watch over GQ Palace family, GQ Palace hosts, all of the hosts and all of the members of GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday, and all of the members of GQ Palace as a whole. I also just call up Brother Scribby Hunter's name in prayer, God, for we know that you know that he is going through a very hard time right now with 5 deaths in a short period of time, and only you can give him the courage and understanding and the patience that he needs to just to deal with everything. And we know that you call home only the best, and you've called home some angels in his life, Father God, and we just come to you just asking you just to protect him and just make him strong and just heal his heart and just humble his soul so just that he understands that you didn't leave him. You're there for him, and you take the best home with you, Father God. Father God, I just come to you just asking you to just continue to help the families of all the missing children. There are so many missing children on the news and on Facebook and all the social sites that we have, Father God. There's so many different missing children that are out there in all different races, sizes. They're all just so different. And we just ask them for prayer for the families and prayer for the people that have taken these children. And we're just asking for them to just please bring them home safe and unharmed, Father God. Just bring all of them safe. Just bring them home. Just bring them home. And yes, we're calling up the names of anyone that GQ Palace has come in contact with, Father God. We're asking you to just protect them, encourage them, uplift them, and just motivate them, keep them encouraged. I'm also going to mention Cherie Seymour. She has finally made a decision of which college she chooses to go to away at college, and we're just it's just a wonderful feeling. And we're also going to say a prayer for Naisha Polite, Father God, who actually returned back to college, and we see that you're moving in both of their lives, Father God, and we're just happy and we're just humble, and, you know, we'll continue to humble ourselves as they continue to do, to proceed with their dreams the way that you have enlightened them and have encouraged them to do, Father God. Father God, we just ask you just continue to just watch over all of GQ Palace family, all of the hosts, Partners in Prayer Global Ministries, Eagle Wings Ministries, Deanne Lane and her co-host as well. An extra prayer for Rich Money, for Richard Archibald, just that you would just give him the patience, knowledge, and understanding to be able to just do as he needs to do with his medication. But I'm also just asking for a prayer for discernment for Richard Archibald, as well as just encourage him and uplift him and just motivate him and let him know that even though the road might seem rough, you know that there's always light at the end of the tunnel. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're going to do, we're going to go to a song real fast, and then we're going to come back on and bring on our first caller. Also, if you're listening from your PC, please dial the number 646-200-3838 and press the 1 button to go on the air. Also, if you're already called into the studio, please make sure that you press the 1 button as well. We're going to go to a song, and we'll be right back. Amen.
Only son from me, that I may have light
eternally.
And I realize I could sacrifice some time
to tell you what you need.
I love you and I'm sorry.
Sometimes I don't pray at all. Then I slip up and fall.
There you are, catch me every time. Forgive me, put up with me when I don't deserve it. I'm thankful for you, Lord. You're the only God I live for.
Take some time to get away. Let them know you're ready today. May that
place from this whole world when I want to hear from you.
You comfort me
every time I lift my hands up to you and offer up my prayers.
That's when
how to be a better man. Tell everyone I can about the love you've given me. Enter in my soul and set me free. You forgive me
times
when I don't deserve. I'm thankful for your love. You're the only God I live for.
Welcome back to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. And when I mentioned we're going to do things a little different here on Spiritual Sunday, usually every Sunday after Spiritual Sunday, we have a show called Crossroad Temple. And on Crossroad Temple, we have Brother Scribby Hunter, who interviews up-and-coming hip-hop gospel artists. And he's had a lot of different guests on. And what I've decided to do, of course, praying about it first, also play some of the songs when we go and we take our intermission break, so we take like a few minutes. I'm going to also be rotating some of the songs. Not all of the songs are going to be up-and-coming artists, but the one that was just played is an up-and-coming artist. So we're going to switch it up a little bit at the same time. We're going to go to our first caller this evening. Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
This is T.
Hi, T.
Hi, sis. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
You sound real good right now.
I'd leave you alone.
How is
actually,
your weekend?
You know
how
what?
Are you?
I'm blessed. I'm very tired, though. I mean, Friday, when I go to Philly, it takes a lot out of me, you know, especially when I go down and just turn right back around and come back.
Right.
You know, and I've got the grandbaby for a few days, and, you know, I was up
aww.
With him and my nephew and my goddaughter and my friend. I don't know what time we even went to bed. Just dancing with him, and you know, because it's been so long since I had him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, today is my son, my firstborn, his birthday. Happy birthday, son, Sean.
Happy birthday, son. Sean Holland, happy birthday.
Exactly.
I remember.
I mean, it's just like I'm like I don't know. I feel tired, but I'm not going to claim it.
That's right.
Because I'm going to put some energy in me one way or the other.
That's right. And of course, we're thanking God for your safe travels, you know, that you were able
yes,
to travel.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
there and
because
back
it was
safe.
So cold.
Mm-hmm.
It was
and,
so
and you,
cold,
and
remember
you
know.
When you fell? Remember when you had
yeah,
fell not
yeah,
too long
exactly.
ago? So we definitely, look, we're praying, you know, and we're thankful for your safe travels. That's for sure.
Yes.
You came back in one piece. And
first and
I
foremost, exactly.
Say, oh, I fell.
Wait a minute. When I got to feeling right, I mean, I was praying before, but when I got to them steps, I was like, Jesus, you know. Me and these steps are not the best of friends.
Yeah,
but if you let me get
the
down these steps safely,
mm-hmm.
if you let me get down these steps safely, I will thank you. I'm going to thank you and praise you anyway, but I'm definitely going to praise you to the Almighty.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And that's the first thing my daughter said when I told her I was there. She said, "Mom, watch the steps. They don't like you." I said, "Okay," but nevertheless, you know, everything was, you know, it was very cold. But you know, the baby and everything, he was like, "Mama, I am so cold." I said, "No, baby." I said, "But we're gonna be all right." He said, "Yes,
aww.
We are." You know,
aww.
And honey, Friday night, the first thing he asked me, "Mama, is it church tomorrow?" Because he know normally he goes with my goddaughter.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I said, "No, baby, tomorrow is Saturday."
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, "So can we go Sunday?" But no, you know, they didn't have church today. So he was like, "Mama, I didn't get to praise God today." I said, "I know, babe."
Aww.
I said, "But you can." I said, "You can praise him. You ain't got to go to church to praise him." So
mm-hmm.
he's got a little, what they call it, nabby.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a little tablet for Christmas. So
okay.
he sung his little gospel song, honey, and video recorded it. I thought it was so
you
cute. But that's my heart, you know, him and my mm-hmm. nephew. Actually, Alonzo will be 7 next month, and John is 5. He'll be 6 in November. So,
wow.
I'm just blessed. You know, I'm here. Things are looking up for me, and I just
yeah.
feel real good
about
life and everything that's going and happening to me right now.
All right. All right. Amen.
You know?
Mm-hmm,
and thanks
you know.
For partners in prayer. You know, that
that's
has
right.
really, truly.
yes.
I have not, and I felt so bad because this was the first day I missed.
Yeah. But
and
you know what? Usually we tag team each other. Usually we tag team each other. And that didn't happen. But you know what? That didn't happen because both of us were sleeping. But hold on 1 second. Let me just go
okay.
to the caller, but stay on the line.
Okay.
Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Oh, Evangelist Parker.
Hi, Evangelist Parker. How are you?
Hello.
Oh, Lord, how are you?
Fine.
Good. Look, oh, you hear us talk about partners in prayer, right?
I just heard her just finished. I just dialed in a few minutes ago, and I heard her. She sounds so good. She sounds so good.
Thank you.
Yes.
But I told her, I mean, today was my first day missing it. I was like, oh, my God, I missed it. Oh, man. And I text Lavina, I said, I didn't get up in time this morning. She said, I didn't either. I was tired.
Bless your heart.
Because one of us usually call the other if need be.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened today wasn't either one of our days. So, you know, I was just telling her that I just like the transformation that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
And thanks to partners in prayer. Has brought
that's
me
right.
a long way as well as
mm-hmm.
Spiritual Sunday, but, you know, I just see a big difference in me since I joined Partners in Prayer.
Yes.
And I definitely want to thank you for that.
Amen.
Yes.
I thank the Lord for you. I knew that it's in you, sister, you know.
Yeah.
Your need is in you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel cool. Real good, you know. I just,
mm-hmm. You sound
I don't know.
Good. You sound good.
Well,
you sound,
say
you sound really good.
See, I
will
say this, partners in prayer is a healing and deliverance ministry. So
yes.
If you want to be healed, you get into it. You're going to be healed. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. And, of course, we're going to, Evangelist Parker, how you feeling?
I'm not feeling too good. I just pressed to get on, you know, just to show my support to you guys. But
oh,
I wanted
you.
To press, but I was in the bed.
Oh,
okay. Well, thank you. And
yeah.
We, of course, look, and we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you, and we love Partners in Prayer Global
enough.
Ministry. That's right. We can't. And, you know, we know that you're not, you know, feeling 100%.
Okay.
So we're,
well, yeah.
You can, you know, go ahead.
I can, y'all gonna release me. I can go back to bed.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because you got to be up early in the morning.
Yes, indeed. Well, God bless
yes.
you. I love you all. Just want
love
to show my
too.
Support.
Love you too.
All right.
Feel
bye
better
now.
Too.
Okay,
thank
bye
you.
Bye,
bye now.
Uh-huh.
Bye bye. Oh, we're going to bring on another caller. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. Hello, this is Rachel.
Hey!
I could not wait to get on and sing that song to this tonight, Miss Lavina.
wait, and before you share, I just want to say it's about, 7:22, and I scheduled two special guests this evening, okay? Not one,
uh-huh.
but two, and neither one have called in yet.
That's all right.
But
we can do it.
So
no, we'll hold
came,
the show down.
When I tell you that song came on in perfect timing, and I said, you know, wait a minute, what time is it? You know, and I said, okay, I sent everybody messages and everything. I don't know what's going on, but I sent them another message, you know, both of them, and I said, you know, it's something. We're going to touch
uh-huh.
on that part in a minute. But
uh-huh.
our special guest, you know, if you are listening, you do have to press 1 to go on the air with us this evening. And I want to say, I think somebody might have did like the jinx or the heebie-jeebies or something on spiritual stuff. I'm serious. I'm going to tell you why. And I don't believe in stuff like that, but I'm just going to say it, you know. I'm not going to claim it now, people. I'm just going to say it. Because it has been, when I tell you, the last maybe 2 shows, a special guest was supposed to come on that didn't come on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And... But then later on, I got a message. So I said, you know what? It's a new year. I'm going to schedule 2 people, you know. This way, you know, of course, we get double the dose. You know, we get
mm-hmm.
double the dose. So I said, you know, but this is what I'm going to do from that one. So I said, you know what? I confirm with everybody. And then, I don't know, it's just a part of me says, you know, somebody might have threw the jinx on Spiritual Sunday because one of them, you know, one of the people, you know, that I think might have threw some jinx on it. We're not going to claim it, but I'm going to say I think I got rid of that person, you know, because, yeah.
Amen.
And I said, you know, God said you got to be careful with who you allow to pray for you, you know, and when
Amen.
I tell you, yes, you got to be careful who you allow to pray for you and to you and call up your name in prayer, you know.
Right.
And
Amen.
I had one particular person that I kind of felt that, like, I don't know, it just seemed like it wasn't a good vibe. Initially, it's like, all right, and then as my transformation gets, you know, in progress, and then their transformation gets in progress, it's kind of like it's not on the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, but we're going to leave that alone. We talked about that enough.
Oh,
but,
amen.
The lines are open, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air. And you know, of course, as you know, Rich Money says, the show will always go on. And we're going to
yes,
continue
ma'am.
On with Spiritual Sunday. But Rachel, singing my
yes,
song.
Ma'am.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And you sound
thank
so good.
You thank
sound
you. I feel good.
I feel great. I really do. God,
you sound good, too.
Definitely. Thank you. God has definitely blessed me. He blesses me every day just by waking me up and allowing me to plant my feet on the floor and breathing and giving me a voice to talk, let's walk, bread to eat, place to sleep, always blessing me. However, I've gone through a trying situation recently, mm-hmm. and I, regardless of how down I was and how, you know, how close to depression I was, I'm not claiming it, but I think she was there, but I'm not claiming it.
Man.
But, regardless, I stayed strong and believing in that God would get me through it, and he sure did. And here I am today to tell my testimony that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and he will see you through regardless. Man. All it takes is
yes.
that mustard seed worth of faith. Sometimes our faith
yes.
may get a little slow, and we look to God and say, where are you, Lord? Why aren't you here, Lord? What's going on, Lord? I'm trusting in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you need is that mustard seed worth of faith. It'll take you a
yes.
long way. And
yes.
I stayed holding on to his hand and allowed him to come into my life even more than he was, and I was allowing him before. You know, I would be juggling and say, you know, okay, Lord, but I got this problem, but I just want you to watch over me, you know, while I handle
mm-hmm.
it. No, I can't do that. I had to, and I knew better. I knew what I needed to do. I just was not applying. And I'm grateful for the words of wisdom, the strength, and the encouragement of Lavina and T, because you two have definitely, and I'm so grateful for you two. Thank you. I thank God for you two. Lavina kept texting me when I wouldn't, you know, pick up the phone and physically talk to her. Same thing with T. I wouldn't pick up the phone and physically talk to them because I didn't want to break down and cry and, you know, tell them my sorrows, but they were texting me and giving me messages, inboxing me. Believe in God, trust in God, put him first, pray constantly. And that is what I continue to do time and time again, as many tears as I have. My knees are scarred up right now because I've been on so much praying lately, so I'm so grateful.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
oh,
so
it is so
beautiful.
I can't get over how great you sound. I can't get over how great you sound. Like, you have no idea.
Exactly.
I have no idea.
The monkeys are off my back. The tension is off. I mean,
all right.
Every day trials and tribulations and all, but that hurdle,
yes.
that was a tough hurdle to get over. And I'm
yes.
so grateful for my support system. I love y'all. Thank y'all so much. My GQ Palace family, my sisters. I love y'all.
I love you, too. Not
to
have you cry.
But I made it.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yes.
And you know, I just want to point out a couple good things that you said. And one of them is, you know, how we say, okay, well, you know, God, you know, just watch me, you know, just cover me as I do what I have to do, you know.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
at the end of the day, I was talking to T about it, about giving it to God and leaving it there. You know,
uh-huh.
don't take it back. You know, just
yep.
just give it to him. Just give it to him. And say, you know what, God, I'm gonna give this to you. I'm gonna give it to you, and leave it. You know, and just leave it with him.
And you, kept
you know,
telling
and then
me
he'll
that.
Work it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You kept telling me that. Lavina kept telling me that. Surrender it to God. Give it to God. You have to give it to God. You have to pray. And that's
yes.
what I say all the time. Anyway, all day, every day, I'm constantly saying a prayer throughout the day. People probably look at me crazy because I'm constantly saying a prayer constantly. But I was juggling with it, you know, trying to take control of it myself. But I can't be in control.
We can't handle it.
Oh, no. Lavina kept telling me, give it
we
to
can't.
God. He kept telling me, pray. Trust in God. Lavina
yes.
kept telling me, give it to God. Surrender it to him and leave it with him. And those words kept sticking in my head every day. When I felt like I just wanted to give up, those words kept coming up on my phone. Kept coming up.
Oh.
kept showing up in my dreams.
Feels good. I'm telling you, bro.
Let me just ask.
Global prayer ministry. My goodness. Mm-hmm. I just feel like a totally different person. I mean, the last time I spoke to you, it's like a 360-degree turn of what I've heard, mm-hmm. and you probably saying the same thing about me. Because mm-hmm. I do, I feel just so relieved. It's just like so many burdens have been lifted. You know, I'm still mm-hmm. fighting these demons mm-hmm. with my cigarettes and everything like that, but I'm going to fight until I win it. Because mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be a winner in the end.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Dee, and I had to ask you that question. That's one I have to ask you. When you find that people, they prayed for you and, you know, and for you not to, you know, do you find it that it's still your willpower, you know, because what I think is, like, you know, someone could, like, pray that you don't smoke cigarettes and stuff anymore, but if you're not giving it to God, saying, you know what, God, I need you to help me with this, you know, help me get through this, and believe me, I know. Because it's been some trying times, and I'm like, all right, God, come on, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, please, please help me. All right, I'm gonna go for a walk. No, I'm gonna pick up the Bible right now. You know, yeah. So when I tell you, do you find that it's harder when people, like, when we can pray for you to, you know, pray for God to remove the taste of out your mouth, but do you think it's more? You have to do your part as well, or you just think
that? Oh, yeah. You know what? Because right now, it's all in my hands. God has already spoke to me about it, but he's mm-hmm. like telling me, you know, hey, you got to want to do this. If you're not willing or have the faith to give it up, you're not going to stop.
Right.
And I see it every single day. But I see myself smoking less and less each day.
Yeah, okay. So you know that's a start, you know.
Yeah.
People, you know, that's a start.
Because I was almost at 2 packs a day. Just sitting here at the computer, just puffing. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even do my physical therapy. I wanted to go out and smoke a cigarette, and it only lasts like 1 hour and 15 minutes. But I wanted to go outside and smoke a cigarette in between. You know, and I've gotten mm-hmm. to the point now that it's not like that.
Right, right.
You know, and just sitting here and now with the grandbaby here, you know, is even because I don't want to fill his lungs up. You know, I don't want to give him any thoughts of any bad habits, even though he's 7. But you can start them at an early age. They see you doing it. They say, hey, she did it. It must have been cool, so let me try it too. So, you know, I don't want to, like, overcome him with cigarette smoke or anything else. Any other bad habit I have had, I don't want him seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Because,
you know,
nowadays they start younger. They ain't gotta wait till they know 18. You know, they can start at 10 or 11. You know, and I don't want to have to tell my grandson, you know, look, baby, this is not the way. But if he's seeing me doing it, then he gonna figure, oh, mama did it. It's okay for me to do it.
Right, and that's the thing. It's like they'll see, you know, because you know, I tell anybody, you know, the kids pick up on everything that we do.
And the minute
I said, you know what, I'm not going to smoke anymore, my little one jumped up, yay. Why is she yelling, yay, you know? And then I sat and I thought about it, and she actually said to me, you know, Mommy, I want you to stop smoking, you know, cigarettes, because they learned about the nicotine in school. And when she first told me, I listened, like,
right.
I'm going to stop, you know. Like, I heard her, don't get me wrong, I did hear her, but... You know, at the same time, I was depending on it, you know.
Right.
So then it came to that point where I said, you know what, I got to make some changes, you know, for the new year. The new year, got to make some changes, you know. And I said, New Year's Eve, I said, okay. New Year's Day, I said, New Year's Day, I'm not going to smoke no more, you know. And usually I'm the first person to say, oh, yeah, share what you've been doing, you know. And I didn't share mine. I didn't share, you know, I didn't share because I said, you know what, just in case I had a little situation and I wasn't able to keep up with it, you know. And of course, you know, for those of you who don't know me, I am talking about cigarettes. I'm just saying. I am talking about cigarettes, you know. So, you know, as of the first, you know, on the year.
So we got 26 days up under the belt, right?
Yes, 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 yes.
And if you can do it, if you can do it, I definitely can do it. And, you know, I may have to end up calling you, well, like we normally talk every day anyway.
Right.
But I may have to call you and be like, huh, sis, I feel like I want to smoke one.
let me tell you, ladies, what stopped me from smoking. I had started smoking. It was only for a couple of years, but I really liked it. I really liked smoking. And I could care less how cold it was outside. I would step outside in the freezing cold, smoke my cigarette. But one day I was laying in the bed, and I had no plans of quitting. I really had not. I was deep in depression, and so I was smoking heavy. So I was laying in the bed. My windows were wide open. I think the air conditioner was on in the summer. And I was smoking a cigarette. I took a puff, and my whole body felt like I had like an out-of-body experience. I felt a tingle through my whole body. So I opened my eyes, and I said to myself, I never get this a high like this from a cigarette. What is it? So I said, okay, well, maybe if the cigarette is stale or something. So I lit a fresh cigarette. I took a puff. And that same ugly feeling came over me. Like, it was my whole body just felt like something just took over it. It was like, it was a horrible feeling, like something was running through my veins, poison, all through my veins, all through my body. It was an ugly feeling, you know, and it scared me. So I said, okay, I'm not smoking for the rest of the night. Next day, evening time comes, because I didn't smoke the first part of the day. I worked, so when I got off, laid down, took a puff of the cigarette, I had that ugly feeling. I said, Lord, I don't ever want to have this feeling again. And I quit cold turkey. I don't know what it was, why that those cigarettes started making me feel like that out of the blue. I have no clue. But I quit cold turkey. I did not like that feeling.
you have a clue. You know what that was. You know who was talking to you, telling you to take that taste right out your mouth. You know exactly who it was.
Back then, I was just thinking, okay, well, maybe I'm getting sick and my body's having a reaction to it, or what. I was not hearing God saying, put that down. I was not.
That's what it was.
Looking back, I'm so grateful, you know, that I did, because at that time my health did start to deteriorate. The depression had started setting in. I was smoking a lot. I was eating a lot all through the night. I had gained all sorts of weight, and it ended up with the hypothyroidism and all sorts of ailments, the low vitamin D, the low iron. I became sick, and this autoimmune, my system started shutting down. So everything started. God definitely said to me, sister, you need to do something. So
that's right.
I went to the doctor. Yeah, I didn't like that feeling. So I went to the doctor. And got all sorts of blood work, and the doctor told me exactly what was wrong with me. And he even told me, you're born through a depression state, and unless you want to go deeper into the depression, you need to eliminate some of your stress, or you're going to have to see a psychologist, you're going to have to be on medication, you're going deep into depression, you need to do something. So I eliminated a lot of my stress. I started praying harder and praying more and just believing even more so ever than before. And I ended up not having to go on medication for the depression. I didn't have to go on medication. But as far as my, you know, my low vitamins, I take, you know, regular vitamins and medication for the hypothyroidism. But I can say that I've been blessed not to fall back deep into depression like I had then, and I still have not picked up another cigarette. It's been years. I can't even count the amount of years. It's been years since I've picked up another cigarette. Glory be to God.
Well, I want to tell you, and T, I'm sure you'll, I think it'll help you. I think it'll be beneficial for you. You know, what I started doing was, at first, of course, I prayed about it, and I said, you know, I know it's not good for me. You know, when I sit and I think of, like, my family history and the illnesses and stuff that, you know, some of my loved ones have died from, and then I just say, you know what, I wasn't doing it for, oh, my God, I don't know how many years of my life I didn't do it. I started doing it for something medical that I thought was going to, loosen up my muscles, you know, so that I can go to the bathroom is when I started doing it. That was the reason I started doing it initially, okay? 5 years ago, initially, that's what I said. You know what? Someone told me about it. You know, they said coffee and then, you know, trying, you know. So I said, okay, no problem. So after I started trying it, it was working. You know, the combination of the coffee and the cigarette, it was working. Okay? And then as time went on, it wasn't working anymore. So I'm trying all that. I'm serious. So I'm trying all these other things. And mind you, when I told the lady at my job, she started laughing at me too. And she said, you know, that's like the dumbest reason I've ever heard someone start smoking cigarettes before.
Yeah,
because
I never heard that one.
And when I tell you, I looked right at her and I said, you know what? But I could swear to God, and I put my right hand up and everything. That's the reason why I started, because of that. And initially, it didn't, you know, initially it was helping me. And then as time went on, it didn't help me anymore. And then as time went on, I started really depending on it. You know, I was really, really, really depending on it. I mean, every time I get stressed out, oh, I got to have a cigarette or I have to have a cigarette, you know. And I started, like, really depending on it. So long story short, you know, as time went on, my little one started cheering. And she started cheering for the town, then now cheering for, like, this all-star team. And one day I walked into the waiting area. She had practice. And the guy said, "Ooh, who smells like that?" Mind you, at practice, I would sit in a car. I would, you know, help with the show, you know, from my car and everything. So I wouldn't think about it, you know, like, okay, you smell like 10 packs of cigarettes, you know. I wouldn't think about it. I walked in that day, and the room was full. And the guy said, "Oh, who smells like that?" So I took my shirt and I smelled my jacket. And, you know, you can't smell it because you smoke. It smells just like cigarettes,
right,
you know.
Right.
So I asked my coworker. I said, "Do you smell that?" And she said, "Yeah, girl, you was just smoking in the car. How many you had?" That was it. I said, "All right, you know what? I gotta stop. So long story short, what ended up happening was the new year, I said, "You know what, God? You know, I'm doing, you know, what you've called me to do. I'm transforming my life around. Just help me, you know, with this one last thing. Help me with this one last thing. Just help me with this, you know." And I said, "Help me with the cigarettes. Help me stop smoking cigarettes. Whenever I feel the need, you know, the urge, just take the taste right out of my mouth, please." And as of January 1st, it's been 26 days and I haven't had a cigarette. And when I tell you, I still have the little cravings, though. And when I get mad, you know, I'm like, I carry around my Bible in my pocket. Yeah. So whenever I get a craving to read, you know, a craving to smoke, I read the Bible.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to have to do, give me one in my pocket.
And my sister, you know, yeah, she asked me, she said, "Why did you, you know, why are you reading the Bible? Like, you know, you at work and, you know, you get upset and you reading the Bible in a corner. You know, what's wrong with you?" I'm like, "Nothing. It's either read the Bible or me say I need a cigarette and go outside and smoke. And I don't want to backslide, you know. I want to be able to continue the transformation correctly. You know, I know there's things that I might backslide on, you know, but for the most part, I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing and I'm doing exactly what God says. You know, this is what you need to do. I'm doing it, you know, and I'm pleased with it. And I know that he's pleased with it because there's a difference in me. You know, I need help with the mood swings now, though. The mood swings is a little crazy right now. I need help with that, you know, and I want to thank you. Look, and I'm going to take this. We're going to go to a song, but I want to take a few minutes out and thank my family for being so patient with me because I know that I'm not easy to deal with, you know, especially during this time. And I could be happy 1 minute, and then a few minutes later I'm having a bipolar moment, you know, and that's my moment of really needing to have a cigarette. But, yeah, with that being said, we're gonna go to a song, and then we're going to come back. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, T, is that agreement, when you get ready to make it, you sit and you make it with God. I believe that it is working for you because you've slowed down a little bit. You know, you went from the two packs to not as many, you know, so I believe that's a start. But he can take the taste out of your mouth, but the urges that you'll have, I think that you'll have to work on, you know, finding something to cope with instead of the smoking, you know. When you're ready, you sit and you pray on it. And I think that, you know, we can pray all we want to, but until you're ready to do your part on it, then it's not going to be beneficial to me, you know. And that's just my opinion.
I agree.
You know,
if
you're not not ready, then guess what? We're praying for your health and strength, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for your health and strength, you know, and just keep you encouraged to know that you don't have to do it, you know. But when you're ready, you'll stop. But we're going to go we're going to go to a song, and then we're going to bring on a couple more callers. One of the special guests is calling in now, so we're going to actually go to a song, and then we're going to welcome her on, and then we're going to continue with the show. Amen.
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 Battle this fight alone. turn away, no longer to sin, have it told on me, through your precious amazing grace. And yes, it's a choice that I make each day, to hear your still small voice. Listen, trust, follow and obey. I repent of my sin and turn away. I repent of my sin and turn away.
Welcome back to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Having a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're going to bring everybody back on the air. All right, there we go. Just going to get Rachel back on the air. T, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, all right. We're going to bring on our special guest this evening. Just going to bring her on. Prophet Deborah Felder. We're going to welcome Prophet Deborah Felder to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you so much.
Amen. Thank Hello. You. How are you?
I'm blessed like you and can keep up with you. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, we just want to take a few minutes just to welcome you to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. We are here every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m., and you are one of our special guests this evening, so we do thank you for joining us. I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties, but besides that, we're doing really good.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege, and I'm real humbled to be here. Amen.
Amen, amen. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, God bless you. I want to say thank you so much again, woman of God, and I want to just greet the audience, the listening audience, and you're so blessed to have a program like this every Sunday, my God in heaven. God bless you so much. I speak blessings and increase and multiplication. My name is Dr. Deborah, Apostolic Prophetess, and a little about myself. God has blessed me with three awesome sons. I am now currently doing full-time ministry, doing conferences. I have a few lined up for this year, and God is just doing some awesome things on the radio broadcast. He's delivered me and set me free from so many things, and I'm so grateful and so honored, and above all, I'm so humbled that God has seen to it that I am able to stand here even today and just bless his people. It's an honor to get before his people. A lot of testimonies, a lot of good times, a lot of highs and a lot of lows, a lot of mountaintop experiences, a lot of valley experiences. But one thing I found that in the valleys, you find all kind of good stuff. I mean, it's like a lot of treasures. And just if I can say anything to encourage anyone, I would just say continue to seek God. Seek his face, seek his words, seek his presence, seek his power. Seek him with everything inside of you. And he said he'll add everything else, hallelujah, to us.
Yes, amen, amen. Yes, and I was going to actually ask you about your broadcast as well, because I do see that you're very, very busy. God is definitely moving you, and it's a wonderful thing, you know, to see, you know, exactly everything that you're doing, and I can't wait to call in and to be a part, you know, of your ministry. I must say I was looking, and I was like, okay, blog talk, okay, you know, I was all right. So definitely I have to make sure that, you know, when you do put the post up, you can share them, you know, on my wall as well. And then I have inboxed you my number as well, so you can send me the information, so this way I can share it, you know, with our audience as well.
Thank you.
I'm here
so
on blog talk,
that.
And you're welcome. So would you like to share your testimony with everyone this evening?
Well, does anyone have any questions so far?
Yeah, because I have quite a few testimonies. I mean, you know, just shoot away. Ask them. I mean, it's a lot. Ooh, we'll be here all night. Oh, my gosh.
Amen. So if no one has any questions,
yeah,
I know T has some. She's just waiting for the right time.
By all means,
I'll come up with something.
Okay. Well, let me just give you this testimony real quick. God has delivered me from a brain tumor some years ago. I was in the hospital for 4 to 5 months, and I was just sharing this earlier, actually, how it had affected my eyes and my legs. I had lost the use of my legs. And I was in there for like 4 or 5 months, and what had happened was that it was a tumor about the size of my fist that had lodged itself in my pituitary gland. And don't ask the doctor that I had. He said something to the effect that this is like normally found, not this big, of course, but normally found in the lungs. But it's in her head, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, like, great. And so I was in the hospital. I started losing my memory. I couldn't even remember my son, what my son looked like, and I just cried all the time. The pain was excruciating. It was like giving birth out of my pores. It was just trying to bust out of my head. It was just excruciating. God is so awesome, though. What had happened was that they had moved me in the room, you know, with another young lady who had tried to kill herself. She jumped off. It was in USC Medical Center here in downtown Los Angeles. And they had moved her in there, and she had jumped off the roof like 40-something, I think it was 40 windows, 40 stories high. Anyway, long story short, she was paralyzed from the neck down. She did not die by the grace of God. And so she had been in there for a while, well, just over a year, and they had just, you know, they had moved, actually they moved me into her room. And I said, okay. So I, you know, was laying in there, and I was just hurting. Had the little pump there. And so in the mornings, what I would do is I believe in praise. I believe that praise creates an atmosphere for God to move. Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
You know, in Psalm 68, it says that when you praise God, he will cause the earth to yield its increase. Hallelujah. And then in also, too, you know, the seraphim, in the presence of God, in the throne room of God, there's always praise. It's being holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And also, too, he says in scriptures that when you send out the praise, he sends the praises out before the army, and it will confuse the enemy. So I just believe in praise, and so I would just praise him all the time. I was just, you know, my favorite song at that time was, "Whose report will you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord." His report says I am healed. His report said I am filled. His report says I'm set free. His report says victory. And so I would sing that as much as I can between the hurt and the pain. And so the young lady, she would hear me praying in the spirit, and she was unfamiliar with that. So she, one day she just, you know, I had just finished as much as I could. Again, I was in a lot of pain.
Right.
Very well. But I was holding on. I said, God, I'm going to hold on to you. If I have to hold on to a piece of lint, I'm going to hold on to your God. Don't have to be a whole handful, just a piece.
Yeah.
And so she heard me, and she said, what language is that you're talking? And I said, oh, I got embarrassed. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, did I wake you? She said, no. I noticed that you sing, that you're singing, or that you're speaking that every morning. And I said, yeah. I said, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. And so she didn't know anything about that. So I ministered to her with that.
Mm-hmm.
My God. So I kind of, you know, I rolled out of my bed and did a little wheelchair that they had sitting next to me. And, you know, I propped myself up in there. Being double, I just kind of used my hands as like braille. And, I made my way over there. So it wasn't far. It was like right there.
Right.
And so I said, do you mind if I pray with you? And she said, no. She said, yes, thank you. I said, okay. Really sweet young lady.
Mm-hmm.
So I prayed, you know, best I could. I just prayed in the spirit a little bit. And then I said, Father, I thank you for healing her. And I just sort of really, my head really started acting up. So it wasn't a long prayer. I said, God, I thank you right now for healing her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And I thank you right now for a praise report. And I said, okay, I got to go lay back down. So I went and lay back down. And about a few hours later, I heard a bunch of commotion. And I saw doctors running in the room, and, you know, and I saw people crying. I guess it was her family. And then I heard also more doctors running in the room. They were just, like, frantic, and I'm thinking something had happened.
Right.
Oh, God. Did she die? That's what I'm thinking. I said, oh, my God. And then I heard her, and what I heard was this. She said, I can feel it. I can feel my feet. I can feel my feet. Now, granted, she was paralyzed from the neck down, no feelings for over a year.
Wow.
God had healed her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Deborah, Deborah, I can feel my feet. I said, oh, amen. Hallelujah. And in the back of my head, I said, okay, God, what about me? So, you know, yeah, forget about me. Hello.
Right.
Yeah, what about me? I'm sitting right here.
Mm-hmm.
But so then later that day, the next day, they said, we're going to go ahead and do surgery. And I said, okay. And at that point, I was really tired, woman of God. I just said, you know, Lord, I don't care. You take it out miraculously or just take it out with the doctor. Just guide his hands. I said, I just want this over with. I don't care how you do it. Just do it. I surrender. Just, I'm done. You know?
That's right.
But it took me down to the MRI, and it ran an MRI. And it's like a 45-minute thing, and I said, okay.
Right.
I come out. I'm waiting in the hallway. They had me in a little gurney. And they said, well, did you move while you were in there? And we're like, no, I didn't move. And he said, well, can I do it? We need to do another one because it doesn't look right. I said, oh, okay. So they did another one. And they came back out again. So you sure you're not moving? I said, I'm not moving. You know, at this point, well, what happened before that, after that whole incident with the lady, I had went to the restroom. And it was like, you know, I don't mean to sound gross, but it was like three, you know, peas, like green peas. It hit.
Okay.
And I told the nurse, I said, hey, I said, this is happening because I needed help to get to the restroom. And after that, I started feeling better. I don't know why. I said, okay. So then the next day, I went to the MRI, and that's when she said, okay. So the third time, they said, you didn't see anything. Can you do another one? I said, no. No.
Like, no more, please.
Yeah, no more. Right. I'm done. Isn't that radiation in there?
Mm-hmm.
No more.
Right.
And so I got to my room, and I'm starting to feel better. I'm starting to feel kind of energized. My head wasn't turning as bad. My eyes wasn't protruding out, nowhere closer. Well, it was still protruding out, but the enemy was trying to take me out. And so he comes in there. His name is Dr. Chen, because I relate names with his chin. He had a long chin. I said, oh, hi, Dr. Chen. He said, how are you feeling? Him and two or three other, him and three other doctors. I said, I'm actually doing better today. He said, yeah. He said, you look better. You check my eyes. He said, you know, he said, what about your walking? I said, well, I don't know. I haven't gotten up, but I feel better. He says, Miss Elder. I said, yeah. I thought he was going to tell me we were going to go and do surgery. I was bracing myself for this, you know, blow. And he said, you know, this is the MRI that we had taken of you when you came in, and actually a couple of days ago. I said, yeah. He said, you see what it's doing with that? It was really big. I said, yeah. He said, now this is the MRIs that we ran this morning. And he said, we don't see anything. I said, what? And my sister was sitting there, and I said, she said, what? I said, I looked at him, I said, what? It didn't register. He says, well, look. And I didn't see anything. He said, it's not there. He said, I don't know what happened. He says, we're going to keep you in the hospital. We're not going to go forward with the surgery anymore, but we're going to keep you in the hospital, you know, a little longer, just for a few more days to see, you know, what's going on and run some more tests. But as it stands now, we're going to take you off the surgery list and just put you in recovery. About a week later, about a few days later, I got out of the hospital. And without surgery, without anything, God literally, it came out like three peas. So I stand here to say this to anyone who's believing God for your healing. God is the God of heal. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Hallelujah. And I am convinced that he can do anything he wants. People have asked me, well, what about, it was that big, and how is it reduced down to three P's? Ask him. I have no clue.
Exactly.
I don't know, but whatever it was, it was there, and I have documentation of that, and now I have documentation saying it's gone. It's gone.
Wow.
I used to have excruciating headaches. I have not had a headache since. Nowhere close to that. Now, maybe like a little sinus headache, but nothing close to that, where I would scream to high heaven. Nothing. I stand here a healed woman. And that's what it is.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow, yes he is. And I'm just sitting here in like in awe of like, oh my goodness. Like,
I'm
you know, because you,
him.
You oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
And you know the really and the hurtful thing about that is that I had an older sister who actually had the same exact thing and they did surgery on her and she ended up in a because of the walkers. And she ended up dying because it came out. And so I look at that, and I you know, my son, my oldest son, he was telling me, he said, Mama, he said, I have a friend of mine who had a tumor just like the one that you had. He said, and they're saying there's no hope. And so I'm constantly reminded how much he loves me and that he really did touch me. Because he knew that I would be talking right now, this very moment, with you and the rest of your listening audience. And I give him all the praise, I give him all the glory, and I give him all the honor. I truly do. That lady, actually, the one that got healed of her neck, you know, from her neck injuries, she went home like about a couple months later.
Wow.
Amen.
So I just thank God for it. Thank God for it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God for his love.
Wow. And I'm sitting here and I'm just like, oh my goodness. You know,
Amen.
Because you do hear people talk about, you know, healing and, you know, God being a healer and he's the only one that can heal you, you know, but to be able to actually speak to someone, you know, who has been healed, you know, that's just a feeling of, oh, my goodness. Just,
oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People say, well, I don't understand that. And I said, I have documented proof, so I don't know. No. Maybe you'll believe the doctor's report more than God, but I can tell you right now, he is a God that heals. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
So the ministry that he's placed me in is a ministry of restoration, a ministry of regeneration, a ministry of proclaiming the gospel of peace. Telling people that you don't have to be Poe no more, okay? And that, you know,
okay.
You don't have to be Poe no more. You know, you can be healed, okay? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank God for, I love him so much, and I'm enjoying him. Amen.
Amen, amen. Wow.
Amen.
Oh, all right. Okay, we're going to, I was going to go to a song. But instead, we're going to bring on a caller that has been waiting. I do apologize, but, once the special guest comes on, I like to be able to speak to the special guest so you guys can learn a little bit about her, as well as myself as well. So we're going to bring on a caller right now. Welcome to Geeky Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Hello?
Hey, this is Barry. How you doing?
Good, Barry. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
All right. Welcome to Spiritual Sunday, Barry.
All right.
Look, one of our new members of GQ Palace. Look, by affiliation, is a new member. Well,
Amen.
Welcome. And I know you've been listening, Barry. Would you like to share your testimony or what you're thankful for this evening or any questions you might have?
Yeah, I will. I've been a Christian for 10 years. And before that, you know, even before you become a Christian, God has a plan for each and every one of us. So when you look back, once you surrender and give your life to Christ, you go back in the days when you were hanging out and going to clubs and partying, that then you look back and see all the times he was with you, like, you know, what if this and what if that? Because he had a plan for you all his life. So even when you surrender, he's been protecting you ever since you was a child because he had a plan for you. And he was just waiting for you to make that commitment because he doesn't force himself on you. And a lot of times we wait until, you know, we hit bottom or whatever. But he's always there. He's always there. And I just want to say, like, I'm like Joseph in the Bible. You know, even though I didn't have brothers, I was like the favorite child. And a lot of my cousins and all my brothers, even though I never went to prison, you know, I was in prison with myself and my house and everything else. And there was a lot of jealousy and stuff because I was like the favorite one, like with Joseph with the favorite jacket or whatever. But I know that God has called me to be a leader and to be an example for my family. And they can see how I used to be and how I am now. And but with that comes a target and judgmental, because they always bring up how you used to be and how you are now. And but by the grace of God, you know, he's going to get you through. And God is your vindicator. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and before I became a Christian, when people would do something to me, I would be like an Old Testament. I would do eye for eye, because if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. And that's not of God, you know. And the hardest thing to do as a Christian is to love your enemies and love thy neighbor, because when somebody hurts you, your natural reaction is to react, you know. But God is always, he'll always vindicate you, but it takes time. But he shows, and you can see, you know, your vindication. So if anybody that's in the ministry or called, just really realize that once you surrender to God, everybody thinks it's like Psalm 23, peaches and cream, and it's not. It becomes very more harder, but it's worth it.
That's right.
Right. But the worst part and the great part is when you're in the valley, when you're in the desert, when you're in the wilderness, you see people's true colors. And it really hurts, because it's spending families that you thought that were cool. And then when you get down and out, they shoot arrows and stab you. And the devil uses people that's closest to you to come at you. When people from the street can't get you no more and you get stronger, then he uses family and your closest people. And it hurts. It really hurts. And but the good thing about it is that you see their true colors. Because if you don't go through trials and tribulations and down and out, those same people that hang with you think they're cool, like they're your best friends, and they have on that mask.
Mm-hmm. And that's right.
They're what you call Pharisees in the Bible.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they play that
Amen.
Role, but they're really your enemy. So
Amen.
It's hurtful, but then it's good, because, you know, when you're of Christ, you're called to soar like an eagle. And a lot of times you've been hanging with the turkeys and the chickens, and you got to really separate yourself from that. And when you start doing that, first thing people think is that you think you're better than them. They bring back your past. Well, I remember when you saw you think you're better now, and you think you're holy now, and you think you're perfect. But the only person that was perfect was Jesus. And if you look in the Bible, all the great guys, they all had flaws. Moses stuttered. All the great leaders, you know, tax people, fishermen. He don't pick no exclusive people. He picks the ordinary people to show that it is God, because they remember how they used to be like knuckleheads, and now they become great men in the Bible. So he uses just the ordinary person to raise them up, so
Amen.
He gets the glory.
Amen.
He gets the glory. So.
Yeah, you are speaking some truth right there.
But,
you are definitely speaking some truth. And I'm sitting here, and I can relate to a lot of things that you were just saying, Brother Barry. Oh, let me tell you, yes, you are so right.
Yeah,
you
so,
are
so I've,
right.
I've been going through that, you know, like this last several months, because I was in Florida for 5 years, and what God did is remove me from my family because of the hanging out and doing to try to fit in, because I never had no brothers or sisters. And all of a sudden, it was like Abraham. Like, you know, all of a sudden, God got me into Florida. I didn't know nobody, but I just was obedient and went. And just like Abraham did, to get away. So then I got strong and everything. So then, but then my aunt got sick. She was like 89, and I came back, and then she lost her foot in 2012, and I was like, why not? I'm coming back to New York. But, you know, see, they seen pictures and all the stuff that was going for me good in Florida, but, you know, he brought me back so people could see it physically, because, you know, they want to really see it, and that's what happened. But the last 3 or 4 months, it was like I was going through a lot, because he's called you to be a leader of people in your family, but not to try to help everybody, and that's where I fell short this summer. But I was running around trying to fix everybody and help everybody, then I fell short. And then I had an ulcer on my toe, and I had to wind up staying in the house for like 10 weeks, just in the room. And then the devil was just, it was like when Jesus was, you know, in the desert, and the devil was just like shooting stuff at me because I couldn't go out or whatever else. And I got attacked by, you know, everybody, friends, family, everything else. But now, ever since Thanksgiving, God's been rising me and blessing me.
Amen.
Part of it is like,
amen.
To be honest, you keep palace. You know,
amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be honest. You know, like calling in and stuff like that. You know, and then the funny thing is my cousins, Holly Roberts and Pete, and they just see, and my aunt's an agent for like a lot of the, you know, top celebrities out there. And they just see the postings of like Showtime and this and that. You know, and then, and she contacted me like 4 days ago. And I talked to her for, you know, regularly in several years, you know, just saying hello. And that was Holly's mother. And then she's like, oh, I can see like you're doing like really good and everything else. And I see you really bouncing back. Because it's been since my father died December 2000. And my life's been a roller coaster ever since. And except Joseph waited 13 years. And this is the 13th year. So I know this is season of double portion.
And I
really, I feel the stars of G2 Palace. And like a prayer line I do too, I do a prayer line. And it's hard for me to wake up, but I wake up every morning at 5 and do a prayer line too, so.
Amen.
And, I've been doing that for 7 weeks. And I know like what T was saying earlier, I feel a sense of peace. I used to have fear, depression, and everything. It really kind of attacked me when I was down, but now I just wake up and I'm doing a lot of stuff. Like even my son said, this is what the dad I knew like 13 years ago. Because I used to, you know, I coached basketball, girls and boys basketball. Got a lot of trophies in sports and for coaching in Long Island and stuff. And Bellport, Cinema Riches and stuff. And he sees that old person. So that's the main thing. And it's only by the grace of God, it's not by me. So I want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to call in and stuff. And then I got something special coming up this Friday. So it's all good. So I give for
all
God,
right,
all
right.
God gets all the glory.
Yes, he does, giving God all the glory. Amen.
Because if it was me, you know, I'm a man, and it takes a lot of things to say that I'm weak in a lot of stuff, you know. But that's a real man, because when I used to be prideful and think I could do it all, that's when I fell every time. Because I always used to be prideful and think I'm the man and I could do this all that. You know, and now just surrendering, be honest, and you know, when I'm weak, he's strong. So that's the bottom
line.
Right. That's what being a man is about.
That's right. Amen.
So
amen.
That's what a real man is about. A real man is somebody that admits their weaknesses and struggles and gives it to God. So that's my testimony.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm gonna. I thank you. I'm all emotional. I do thank you for calling in, and that is some testimony. Let me tell you. Wow, T. Okay, all right. Wow. Okay, all right. So I'm going to ask everyone to give Brother Barry words of encouragement. Minus T. No.
Right.
We'll go with the special guest first. Dr.
Praise
Deborah.
God. Thank you so much. Man of God, hallelujah. You know, in the Word of God, I always use that because that's our reference point. Amen. So in the Word of God, it said that Moses was the meekest man known at that time. Amen. And meekness does not mean weakness. So I would say to you that stay meek before God and he'll exalt you before men. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I just want you to know that God has your back, most definitely.
Amen.
He always backs his representative.
Amen.
If you're representing God, all of heaven backs you up.
Thank you.
Amen. All of heaven backs you up. And I would just say, as you start to grow more in the school of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Then, that's what I've been listening to, the Holy Ghost, yes.
Yeah. You know, as long as you're walking in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, as the Word of God says. And that's
Amen.
Easier said than done. But
right.
I tell you the truth, man of God. Men hold a special spot in God's eyes, and He desires to walk with you and just to talk with you and to love on you and to encourage you and to strengthen you. So I would say that it takes a lot for a man to say, I'm weak in certain areas, because that's
yes.
just the makeup of a man.
Yes.
But God
right.
is going to, He's going to breathe into your nostrils discernment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You'll be able to discern.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your weakest part. Hallelujah. In your character, in your emotions. I always say character, meaning your behavior. And God is, you know, he's a good God. He's a good Father. Amen.
Yes.
And as you start
Amen.
To seek Him, see His face over His hands, God is going to perform miracles in your life. He's going
yes.
to
yes.
add to you. He's going to add to you His image, and He's going to shape you into His likeness. And there will be nothing. You know, the Word of God always says this. It says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we all love that scripture. And I asked God
mm-hmm.
about that one day. I said, so why am I getting hit?
Right.
In my mind, you know, the weapon that's formed against me, it's not going to prosper, but it's sure hitting hard, you know. And he said,
uh-huh.
Deborah, I never promised that it wouldn't hit you.
That's
I just said
right.
it won't prosper. I just said it won't prosper. I said, oh. He said, so it's your hardness as a good soldier. I said, you know, and at that point I realized that when we become saved and we have become born again and we're birthed into this kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, versus being in the kingdom of darkness, hallelujah,
mm-hmm.
we are actually born in battle.
That's right.
We're born in battle. And I would just say to you, as a man, after God's heart, you continue. You're going to make mistakes. We are created to make mistakes, because we will always have a part of us that we need God. Hallelujah. And the Lord is also in the ministry that He's given me. Hallelujah. He's given me what we call a man cave, from boys to men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ministering to the boy in the man. And,
right.
you know, there are times when, like you said, that you cry. That's the little boy in you, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I'm afraid of a man who don't cry.
Right.
Amen.
Amen, because tears are liquid prayers. Hallelujah.
Right.
You know, they
mm-hmm.
had a crying prophet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with tears. The enemy, you know, he wants to put pressure on you. And so you take those tears, man of God, and God said, I bottle all your tears. And so you tell that demon, my father said, Rasa, Roko, Shekananamasta. And then he said this to you, Rakinanamosta, Riakin. Just confused the heck out of him. Rasa, Nanamosta, Yananamasta. And then God said to tell you this, Rakashinanamarekinanamosta, Yananamasta. Okay,
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Lord of hosts is on my
hallelujah.
Side. Rekesh and Amamata. And I plead the blood of Jesus over Raka. And you just go that route with Him. It'll confuse
Amen.
Him. Amen.
Right.
And all of heaven
Amen.
Will have your back. All of heaven has your back. Man of God, there
Amen.
Is something that's coming upon you that's going to knock you off your feet. Hallelujah. In a good way. Hallelujah. And God's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out, empty out, just shower you with blessings.
Yes.
So you stay
yes.
encouraged.
Thank
knowing
you.
That God, that you are the Son of God. You're not just a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, but you are one of the sons of God. You're one of the sons
Amen.
Of thunder. And every time you open up your mouth to make a declaration and a decree, every time you say, God said it, I'm going to have it, and that settles it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I come against even my, I doubt my doubts, and I reject my rejections.
Amen.
I say to every no in my life, I say yes, hallelujah, because the Word of God says, hallelujah, that everything in God's word is yea and amen. That word amen means so be it. So I'm saying yes and so be it. So when you sing that song, amen, you're singing so be it. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say amen.
It is done.
Amen. 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 What you're really saying is so be it. So be it. So be it. So be it, so be it. Amen.
Thank you very
Amen.
Much. Thank
Amen.
You. I really
Amen.
Needed to hear that. Thank you.
Amen. And I just want to say, look, we have our team push, and we are right there with you, pushing you all along the way.
Yes.
And welcome, mm-hmm. welcome, welcome. And you guys got a little project together right there. So I know that either my phone or Rich's phone should be ringing, you know, shortly so we can get the team pushed together. We all push each other to do better.
Yeah,
you
okay.
know? We push
yeah.
each other to elevate to the next level.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we welcome you. We're going to bring on another caller as well. We actually have two callers. We're going to bring on one and then bring on the other.
Okay, thank you.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to Geeky Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Geeky Power Spiritual Sunday. Hello?
Hello?
All right. So, Steve, that's you. That's Dr. Deborah. And then we have Brother Barry. And then there is another caller. We're just going to last
yes.
name, possibly Bella.
Yes.
Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Welcome. Would you like to share your testimony or what you're thankful for this evening?
I have a question.
Okay.
And my question is about Peter. I wanted to know, did Peter actually curse, as in using profanity, or did he say, let a curse fall upon me? Because I've heard a lot of preachers preach the message that Peter was a curser, Peter was a curser. So is he actually using profanity, or is he saying, let a curse fall upon me if I notice Jesus? That's my question.
Hmm. Well, to start off, welcome to Geeky Power Spiritual Sunday, and my pastor, because it's all in a matter of how you translate it, you know, because I was actually going to bring you right to what my pastor explained to me, you know, which Peter was a curse. You know, Peter was a curser. He did curse, you know, and then depending on who you speak to and how they translate it, they're going to tell you the complete opposite. So I think it's all a matter of translation and how you translate it. But I'll go to the special guest, Dr. Deborah, if she would like to give you her translation of it.
Amen. Thank you, woman of God. And that's a very good question, woman of God. That is such an excellent question. When it says that Peter cursed, you have to go and start doing a... what I do is, that, like I said before, I know what pizza means, but God, what do you mean when you say pizza? I know what the word curse in modern day vernacular, what that word means. I'm thinking I'm cursing somebody out. Amen? Well, not amen, but you know what I'm saying. So I would say this, and so I did a research. The word curse has a root word in Hebrew that means to speak ill will, to speak damaging words, to come against. Amen. As opposed to profanity, you're just using bad words. So I don't personally, I mean, you know, you can agree to disagree, but I personally think that he was using profanity. Because the pressure was, like, the thing was this. They were asking him about his association with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so maybe it was a combination. Maybe he did use profanity. And at the same time, he spoke ill will of our Lord Jesus Christ in order to get himself out of hot water. Okay, and that speaks of whenever we're in a situation where
mm-hmm.
we're pressured, we tend to, you know, the word says, out of the heart, the mouth speak, and you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. He was feeling
mm-hmm.
so bad for Christ that he actually, and then he saw how he was being treated before he went to the cross. And he wasn't trying to hear all that, like that little video. So I ain't got no time for this. Okay, you know, I ain't got time for this. Ain't nobody got time for this. You know, he was out.
Right.
He was about to go. He was ready to run. I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, you see what they did to him. And so he's looking like this. Like, oh. So he probably spoke ill will of Christ. He spoke damaging words against. He did what I call a character assassination. Amen. So he was character assassinating. He was assassinating Christ's character, or even who he was, because he walked close with Christ, you know, and so he saw all the things he did. So what he did was that instead of confirming, yeah, I do know him, that word know mean intimate, I was intimate, in other words, I was right there with him when he did all that, so he just did the opposite, and the word of God said he cursed. So perhaps maybe he did use a little bit of both profanity, plus he cursed what God had, spoke ill will or damaging words or character assassinated the Lord because of his flesh. It wasn't in his heart. He loved Christ. See, in those days, they wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. So he, out of his heart, you know, he spoke ill will. He came against, no, he didn't do this. He denied him. And see, and the Word of God says that's what curses are. Curses deny the very essence of who Christ is. When someone curses you, we think of black magic or witchcraft, and that's very accurate because curses speak ill will of you. It speaks ill fortune. It doesn't speak fortune. It speaks ill fortune. It causes people to stumble. And so, yeah, I think he did curse him in that he spoke ill will of him along with profanity.
Amen. Amen. I hope that we answered your question, caller. I hope that we did answer, your question. And, of course, you're always welcome at GQ Palace with questions. Your testimony or what you're thankful for today as well. We're gonna go to another caller. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Hello.
Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday.
Well, hello. How are you doing? It's Dr. Mitch.
Oh, hi, Dr. Mitch. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty well. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Dr. Mitch is our other special guest this evening. So, of course, we want to welcome you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Not really sure exactly what you guys wanted. Did you want me to give a testimony of my life or talk about what's going on now? I don't really know.
Well, to give you a little information, GQ Palace, we come together, you know, on one accord and in unity, and we allow people to call in and share their testimony, what they're thankful for, which is just your own testimony and things that, you know, you feel God has helped you with. For a special guest standpoint, the special guest shares their testimony. They tell a little bit about themselves, which allows the callers to feel more connected with you, you know, which is technically your testimony, you know, when sharing a little bit about yourself, what you've been doing and what you're doing currently. So this way the callers and listeners that we have here now will also follow you and support what you're doing, and all on the same on accord, you know, on one accord and in unity. It's just all of us coming together and just sharing all of our testimonies and how good God has been to us.
Hey, man. Okay, well, I'll start right now, and then I'll backtrack. You mentioned, what we are thankful for. Now, I'm really just thankful, you know, for God calling me in spite of, you know, for God not removing the call of God that he had on my life, you know, prior to me being saved. You know, a lot of times, you know, people feel like, you know, when you're living in sin that, you know, God cannot use you, or God does not want to use you, or, you know, even if he had planned to use you previously, because of the way that you have lived, you know, now, you know, you can never be what it is that God has called you to be. So I thank God for the grace that was, you know, on my life, you know, prior to me getting saved, and for him, you know, holding on to me and being long-suffering and patient towards me, you know, during that, you know, long period of my time of my life, and still wanting me to be who I am today. And really just thinking about the message that I preached, you know, today, I preached a message titled, What a Difference a Day Makes. And I was talking about Jonah, how Jonah, you know, was in a position sort of like I was prior to being saved. You know, he had ran from a call of God. He had ran from his assignment, and he found himself inside a great fish. And you know, that just represents how we, you know, find ourselves when we are apart from God or run from God. We find ourselves in these bad places, in these sinful places of life, and we're surrounded by these things. But what I love about the story is, you know, once Jonah prayed and asked for forgiveness, you know, God restored him, and he caused the whale to spit Jonah out. And the next day, Jonah was preaching. And so it was just what a difference a day made. You know, the day before, if anybody had looked at Jonah's life, they would have looked at Jonah and said he's a sinner. They would have looked at Jonah and said that he's someone who's ran from the call of God. They would have looked at Jonah and said he's, you know, someone who did not want to do, finish his assignment. And all of that would have been true, and most people would have wrote him off. But just a day later, God says, and the Bible says in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah again. You know, so it just really shows God's long suffering towards us, that even if he speaks to us once and we don't adhere to that call, that he does not give up on us, that he does not remove the gift that he has already placed inside of us. The Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So whatever God has gifted you with, that he gifted Jeremiah, told him before he was formed in a womb, I already ordained you a prophet. So just to encourage each and every one of us out there, like, that there's nothing that, you know, you can do to negate what it is that God has called you to do. Whatever God has called you to do never changes in your life. God is just waiting for you to come to the point like Jonah, when you're in the midst of everything that's bad, and when everybody is looking at you and rightfully so calling you some things that you really are. But God is saying, even though they are calling you that, and even though you are living in that, and at the given moment that you decide that you want to change and get back on track, I'll restore you. And what a difference a day makes, because once we accept him and once we accept a call on our life, the Bible says that therefore if any man be in Christ, there is new creation. You are a new creature in him. So if anybody out here that's listening has, you know, been in a backslidden condition, or you just got saved and you just thinking about, you know, my life has been so bad prior to where I am, and then just remember, for one, Moses was on the run for a murder when God called him. Hallelujah. So, you know, a lot of us have done some things that aren't pleasing to God, but that does not change what you are called to be, because you were created to be it. And at that moment when you decide to change, that's when God will just put you back. God will restore you. That's what restoration is. Restoring you is not what God saying, all right, well, you know, now you accepted me as Lord and Savior, and now, okay, you're going to heaven. No, restoration means I'm going to put you back the way you should have been. So it does not matter what you've done previously in your life. God can and will restore you the same way he restored Jonah. And that was just one day. In one day, Jonah went from being a sinner to preaching to a great city. The Bible says that Nineveh was a great city, a 3 days' journey. And he was able to do that after a day after he was a sinner, 3 days after everybody he was around decided to throw him off a boat. You know, anybody ever felt like they've been thrown off a boat by the people that they were around? Hallelujah. Just 3 days after being thrown off a boat into a water to die, 3 days after people tried to just kill him, he was walking in his assignment. Amen. And that's where we all can be if we just allow God to come into our lives and we don't put the limits on ourselves. Don't think because I did this, I can't do that. One thing does not have to do with the other. What God called you to be, the enemy cannot stop. Your sin cannot stop. Nothing. The Bible says that where sin abounds, the grace much more abounds. So the grace of God will cover each and everything. And as I just want to, you know, give a little testimony of my life, personally how God has, you know, completely brought me full circle and renewed my mind. The Bible talks about that in Romans 12, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And prior to being saved and the preacher that I am today, I was a street guy. I was a drug dealer. I was making a bunch of money, and you know, I cherished it. This is, you know, what I cherish the life. I cherish the cars. I cherish the jewelry. I cherish the clothes. I cherish the women, and most importantly, I cherish the importance I was in my neighborhood for being, you know, the one who was, you know, sort of kind of running everything. And it was an ego thing, you know, that I had. I just felt like, you know, I was the man, and I just wanted more and more and more of that. And in 2006, I had purchased a convertible Jaguar. This is my dream car, so I finally get my dream car, and my little cousin, which is my pastor's daughter, my uncle's my pastor, and she just graduated college, so I went to her. They had a cookout for her, so I went to the cookout, and I'm dressed to the T. I got Gucci everything. I got about $1,500 of clothes on, you know. I got my Rolex on. I got my, you know, got my Jag parked out there with the top down, and you know, since my uncle, you know, is a pastor, you know, there's a lot of church people that were there since I went to church with them when I was little, before I stopped, and everybody just, you know, complimented me on how I looked, and everybody just complimented my car, and this is just, you know, this is what I need. I need this ego. I need this ego being built, because this is what I like. I like this attention. I like everybody to look at me. I like everybody to talk about the things that I have. And person after person after person just kept complimenting me and just swelling my ego up. But God had a plan, and I guess my ego got to its biggest point. And this is where I really realized how bad my mind was. One of the deacons at my uncle's church, he came over and put his hand on my shoulder. He looked at me, he looked at the car, he looked at me, he looked at the car, he looked at me, looked at the car, and he always has a little smirky grin on, and he said five words that changed my life. He says, God has truly blessed you. And when he said that, my ego was deflated. I caught an attitude, and I left. I left the celebration because, and I cursed God out the whole ride. I cursed him out, him and God out. How are you going to tell me that God has blessed me? How are you going to tell me that God got me this? I was feeling like Nebuchadnezzar. I did this. It was me who was sitting in a jail cell and put together this plan to do this, and it was me on a late night putting this together, and it's me who was doing this. And right. Like, God, how are you going to get the credit out of this? You know, where were you? Where were you at when I was doing all of this? And right there, God called me in a vision. A few days prior to that, I had went somewhere and I saw these guys that we were beefing with. So, you know, they were staring at me pretty hard. So I just kept walking in, paying any mind. So, without me knowing, they had, you know, circled the block and parked and got out. So I was back on my block, you know, where I hung at, and I had to use the bathroom. And my brother has a barbershop like a half a block away. So I said, I'm gonna walk down there to go to the bathroom. But the barbershop is always on CP time. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it's closed. So something told me, cross the street to see if the light's on before you walk all the way down there, because you don't want to walk all the way down there. So I said, okay, cool. I just, you know, I think it's just my, you know, it's just my conscience or whatever that speaks to me. And I get halfway across the street of crossing it, and the guys turned the corner and began shooting at me. And had the voice not told me cross the street, I would have been on the same side of the street as they were on, and I would have walked right into them head on. And God says, you want to know where I was? I'm the one that told you to cross the street. And that was a Saturday. And the next Sunday, I went to church, and I've been going to church ever since. And that was what, you know, really changed me. I had to get my ego bruised. I had to realize that God had his hand on me, even when nobody else would think God has his hand on me. Even when people think that, you know, you're just some ruthless drug dealer, and you're just a guy that carries a gun, and a guy that's been in and out of jail, and, you know, you're just this. But the whole time, God looked at me and said, you are a preacher, you are a bishop, you are a pastor, you are an apostle, you are a spokesman for me, you are a prophet, you are one who I'm going to raise up to lead my people back to me. When everybody else, including myself, just saw me as what I was, God saw me as what he created. And at that moment right there, that really transformed my thinking. It transformed who I was, and I realized that this is the hand of God. And that's why I said when I started that, I'm thankful that God kept his hand on me in spite of everything that I was going through, because there are so many times where I was in shootouts and I should have died. It's been multiple times where bullets have just hit the top of my head, the side of my head, or, you know, guys have walked up to my car and the gun is pointed at my face and none of the bullets even hit my windshield. You know, bullets hit the trunk of the car and they're in front of me. Like, how does this happen? And when I look back over, there was God blocking everything. It was God blocking everything, and I just thank Him for blocking it in order for me to get where I am now. And I just thank God for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow.
What a powerful testimony.
Yes.
That
is.
I must say, for everyone that is listening, I always announce on Spiritual Sunday that we believe, you know, here on Spiritual Sunday that someone's testimony can save someone's life. You know, we believe that's how powerful the testimonies are. And that's why we say, okay, share your testimony and, you know, share what you're thankful for. Because this way, when you share your testimony, you're sharing different parts of your life that you have been through and God has made the way for you. And the transformation that you talk about is a transformation that I'm sure that someone that's listening is trying to go through that transformation. And a lot of the gentlemen, a lot of the guys, I'm going to say that, you know, we do speak to on a daily basis, you know, that ego, you know, that's why I was like, because for a lot of men, you know, the ego is a really big thing. You know, it's a really big thing. And, you know, us being women, I think sometimes we tend not to really know how big it really is because I'm still learning. I'm still learning. And it's a big thing, you know. So when you have your ego bruised a tad bit, you know, that allows you to wake up and smell the coffee a little bit. And I just want to commend you for sharing your testimony with us, you know, because I know it's going to definitely... It's gonna save someone's life. And if Brother Barry is listening, Brother Barry, I hope that you're able to listen to everything that was just said, and Brother Rich as well. I hope you're listening. Just calling out a couple of the brothers who are listening in this evening. Just take heed, you know. And I believe that the testimonies will definitely, you know, save someone's life. And we thank you for sharing your testimony with us.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
All right. Now, at this time, I'll just ask you, I know that you mentioned you have a ministry. Would you like to give the information out? So this way, anyone that's interested in supporting you can support you, and they can always go back. If they missed the show, they can listen to the archives, and they can hear everything on the archives.
Amen. Yes, well, the name of my ministry is Do Something Ministry. Our website is dsmsocial.org. Again, dsmsocial.org, DSM as in Do Something Ministry. And, you know, what God had led me to start this ministry, when I first got saved, like I said, I was in the street. So, you know, when I first got saved, I literally did not have one friend that was any good for me anymore, literally. So for the first 2 years of my salvation, I was alone because I just had nobody that I could, you know, I could hang with. And it was such a hard time. And, you know, I almost wanted to go back just because I was lonely. You know, so God led me to start a ministry for, you know, for young people. I got saved at 24. And so God led me to start, you know, a ministry to just connect young adults, you know, between the ages of 18 and 35. And it begins to be a little broad and accept everybody. But we are just focusing on literally doing something. In Matthew 16:18, you know, Jesus is asking the disciples, you know, who do men say that I am? And, you know, Jesus says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells him that, on this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I was, you know, studying that and to just realize that when he said the gates of hell, gates don't move. So if gates don't move, that means that the gates are a defensive mechanism. So if the gates are not going to prevail, that means we have to be doing something. That means we have to be doing something proactive. That means that we have to be attacking. So it just led me to start this ministry where we are going out into the streets. We are taking the ministry outside of the church, and we are doing everything that we can to empower those that already believe to walk in their calling. Those that join my ministry, everyone has to take a spiritual gifts assessment test, because I don't want anybody in my ministry that's just sitting down, sitting up under me, just listening to me preach or just, you know, just listening to Bible studies. And no, I need everybody to be walking in their gifts because, for one, I need you. If this is a body and my foot ain't working, I ain't walking pretty far. So we're trying to empower young people, you know, to take this next generation to another place. With every generation, there is a new anointing. I believe God has called me, you know, for such a time as this. Now, we have services and conferences and things of that nature. If you go on the website, you'll see everything that we'll have upcoming. And everybody is more than welcome to come. But we really focus on that young age people between like 18 and 30, you know, the people who have been hurt by church or people who just have this mindset that, you know, everybody in church is going to judge me and, you know, everybody in church is going to look at me funny, you know. So we, you know, put together things where I'm out there preaching with a hoodie on, and it just causes them, you know, to be a little eased of how they feel they're going to be treated when they come in church, because they look at me like, he looks like me. And it's like, you know, I look like you, but you're going to come here, you're going to get some theology. You know, you're going to get some good stuff. I ain't just going to be talking some mess, you know. But it just has the appearance of it's just relaxed. And, you know, so that's what, you know, we are just out there trying to reach those lost people, you know, those people who are just lost because the church has made, you know, made itself look bad. When Jesus is giving a parable of the lost coin. It's three parables. It's a lost sheep, it's a lost coin, and it's a lost son. But the coin is the only inanimate object. That coin is lost because of the condition of the house. The only reason that coin is not able to be found is because the house is a mess, and they had to clean the house in order for the coin to be found. And we have some lost coin people who are lost because of the condition of the church, because the church has perpetuated itself as a social club of people who are dressed a certain way and act a certain way and does not allow certain people to come in. And so this is where we come in. Now, we come in to clean that image up, to be an image that is welcoming, like Jesus said, a house of prayer for all people, no matter what you look like, how you dress, how short your dress is. Of course, we don't want that, but we're not going to tell you can't come. We're not going to wrap a covering around you. You got tattoos on your face, whatever. You know, so this is what Do Something Ministry is about. It's about grabbing those people. It's about grabbing those people and those that are already saved. Them and might be disconnected because a lot of churches don't have young adult ministries. It's like you're in the youth ministry, you turn 18, then you can't do nothing else. That's where we come in at. You know, so we're not taking anybody from their churches, but through our churches, through our ministry, people feel more connected to their church because now they are learning what they are gifted to do and they're empowered to work in their church. You know, so that's what we are. We are a help to other churches. You know, if young members come to be a part of our ministry, we empower them and send them right back to their church and have them on fire and ready to do what God has called them to do. So, again, you can just go on dsmsocial.org and you can read our mission, our vision, our history, and everything, all the Bible studies and messages and things and blogs. And if you want to share, your testimony, because we do that also on the website. We have people write their testimonies out and put them on the website. So that's everything in a nutshell.
Amen.
Well, of course, we wish you much success in it, and I can see that God is truly moving you and with your transformation and then with the ministry that you have started. And we just, you know, say,
give the glory.
Yes. I'm having some little difficulties right now, but I'm going to try and bring on a caller real fast. And then, of course, I didn't share what I was thankful for, so I'm going to share what I'm thankful for. Because we was just going and going and going.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to bring on our caller. Looks like the switchboard operator is trying to communicate with him. All right, so while we're waiting for the caller, I'm just going to share what I'm thankful for. And, of course, last week there was no show. And I was actually traveling, which took me a very, very long time, I must say. But I was able to make it safe and sound without, you know, any problems. But then I was able to go to work and get hurt on my job. And for those of you who don't know, I work in a psych hospital. And it's a psychiatric hospital with, I say, a lot of behavioral patients. Not all of them are, you know, psych patients. Some of them are behavioral at the same time. And we have this one that feels, you know, to back it up, I work with girls from the age of 13 to 18. And we have this one right now that feels like this is her job, you know, that she is the employee and we are all her patients. So
you know, and mind you, and I thought initially I was getting somewhere, you know, with her, you know, because everybody knows I have my Bible in my pocket, you know, when I go to work. And, of course, you're not allowed to, like, you know, push your religion on anybody else. So if the children ask you to read their Bible, you know, to read your Bible, you can give it to them. So she kept asking me, like, every day for a week straight, can I read your Bible? You have your Bible? You have a Bible? I'm like, yeah, I have a Bible. You know, here you go. Take it, you know, here, here. Give it to me later. All right, no problem. Not a big deal. So long story short, she decided that she wanted to, she says she's hearing voices now. And a lot of the, that's why I say she says a lot of the things is behavioral. You know, this is a behavioral patient. This isn't a psych patient. She's behavioral. Her diagnosis is behavioral. It's not psych at all. And being with her for, oh, God, like 3 years now, off and on, she comes in and out. She decided that she wanted to attack a staff member at 3 o'clock in the morning. And her thing is she attacks the staff members, only the staff members, not the patients, the staff members, because she knows the staff members, we can't hit her back. We can restrain her, but we can't hit her back. So long story short, 3 o'clock in the morning, she attacks somebody, one of the supervisors. So that was okay. The job covered, you know, covered that up, and, you know, the staff member was okay. Long story short, so I'm at work. I want to say, wow. It was my my birthday. I'm at work, and when I tell you they worked me like a runaway slave this day, oh, my God, it was so stressful. And the only thing I said in the morning was, can we please have a good day? Can we have a good day? Please let's have a good day. Everybody said, yeah, Ms. Polite, we're going to have a good day. Don't worry about it. About 3:30, everything just went downhill. Terrible day. So Tuesday came, and I'm at work on Tuesday, and this patient decides that she likes one of the staff members. And she likes him, and he's not paying her any attention. So now she wants to verbally assault him and then physically assault him. And, of course, because we're all staff members, we can't stand there and allow somebody to be assaulted. So I'm trying to do the voice of reason. I got the Bible in my pocket. I'm praying before I even jump in, hands forward. I'm like, all right, you know, God, please just help me with this situation right here. You know, I know that she's going through a hard time about her placement and everything. I'm praying on it, just praying, praying, praying. So, of course, other people decide that they want to put their input in on what was going on. Well, they put the input in, and she decided she wanted to pick up a rolling chair, one of the executive chairs, and throw it. So she threw two chairs, and then one of the supervisors came walking down. She grabbed her by her hair, and she decided she wanted to physically assault her. So me and my bright self, I decided, you know what, I'm going to help. Let me help. I grabbed this girl, about 300 pounds. I'm grabbing her from behind, okay? Grabbing her legs because she jumped over the desk. I'm holding him. I'm like, all right, calm down, calm down. Let's talk about, you know, let's turn around, you know, voice of reason. I'm trying everything. Got the Bible out my hand now and everything. I'm praying. I'm talking to her. Like, come on. Long story short, we end up trying to move a bed. Me and one of the nurses, we flip over a bed, and we push this bed like we're two males. We take it from one part of the room to the other hallway. We're pushing it like it's nothing, okay? I said, all right, I'm going to pay for this later on. Long story short, when everything's all said and done, six staff members are hurt. Six. Six are hurt. The patient's in restraint. I end up with somehow my fingers get bent back. I'm righty, and my right hand goes all the way back. My fingers is now swollen. They're throbbing. I don't know what happened. Supervisor's like, what happened? I don't know. You know, it could have happened when we were trying to get the pen and the paper clip from her. It could have happened when she was swinging. It could have happened when I was pushing the bed. I don't know. So long story short, I've been out of work since Wednesday. And I've been, you know, and I've been home. And me being home, it allowed me to have some time and just reflect on, you know, how good God has been to me with my transformation of the not smoking cigarettes anymore and, you know, living right and doing what I have to do, and just the whole transformation of, all right, listen, this is what you need to do, and I've been doing it. So it gave me some time to be able to reflect on myself. So I'm thankful for discernment. I'm thankful for my Jeeky Palace family, my own personal family, everyone here at GQ Palace. I mean, it's been a long struggle, but I'm here, and I'm thankful, to have all of you, and I'm thankful for every single one of you guys here tonight. So,
and we love you.
Love you, too. Now, I had to hurry up. I do have a caller I want to bring on real fast before they get disconnected. Let me see if I can bring her on. Welcome to Zeke Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Hello.
Hello. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Zeke Power Spiritual Sunday. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
That's
Thank
good.
You for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. I just wanted to say that I'm very, just to let you guys know I'm on here, for T, my godmom.
Oh, hi, okay. Godmom. So we know T.
I just want to say that I'm very thankful for just God's grace and mercy for carrying me through all these years of my 20 years of living. I was down south about a couple months ago, and I just wanted to say thank you for being with me down south. I was in an abusive relationship down there, and I just want to thank you because I was the only one down there, like no family or anything, no family or anything down there. So I'm thankful that he was with me down there. He got me out the situation. I'm thankful for him with my son. He accidentally busted his chin open. I'm just thankful because it could have been a whole lot worse. Thankful for everything, just his grace and mercy. I mean, I can't thank him enough. His anointing that he has put on me, his calling for my life. I'm just thankful, and I wanted to show you guys that I'm thankful. And
amen.
I wanted to let you guys know that he has been in my life, and he has been working in my life. He has worked in my life, he's working in my life, and he will work in my life. I thank him for all the things that he has done, my job. I thank him for my housing that I'm going to get. I'm thanking him in advance. I mean,
amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And
amen.
I just want to let anybody know out there. I mean, I don't know about your callers, but I'm 20 years old, and he's working in my life.
Yes.
So he can work. He will work. He can work for you. He can. It doesn't matter about friends, family members. It doesn't matter about any of that. If you have God, you will win. And I promise you that. If you have God in your life, you will win. And I know you will. Keep praying. You know, seek God first. If you seek God first, then everything else will fall into place.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
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 And I appreciate you having me. Oh, you're welcome, and we thank you for calling. And I knew T was going to start crying as soon as you said, look, as soon as you started talking, I said, okay, I know who this is. So, look, she spoke on GQ Palace before. I know who this
baby.
Is.
Yeah, that's my baby.
And then, then relation to T, I said, oh, yeah, we know who this is. T going to start crying in a minute. So we are thankful. We are thankful for you. And, you know, and we're also thanking God for everything that he is doing for you. And we know that, you know, the struggle, we know there's a struggle every day.
Yes.
But like you said, just keep, you know, thanking God in advance, and just thanking him for everything that he's going to do and he has done for you. And know that even when you feel that you're alone, that you're never alone because he's right there with you.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go to our special guest. our special guest to give Dr. Deborah, if you'd like to give words of encouragement to our wonderful young caller.
Yeah, I would just say, you know what? Just say, keep your eyes focused. As I said before, the best thing I can tell you ever is that you stay focused on the Word of God in everything, no matter what. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 60, it says, "Do not consider the wind. Don't consider what people are saying. Don't consider what's being done. Don't consider what mayhem is happening or what your situation is with whatever's going on. Don't consider that wind. Hold on to God's word. Continue to look at him no matter what comes, no matter what happens. Hallelujah. You are not forgotten. He has forgotten you.
He loves you. And he said, I haven't brought you this far to let you go now.
Amen.
You haven't come this far for him to abandon you. He said, I'll never leave you, neither will I ever forsake you. He said, I will be with you. There's nothing that can separate his love for you. And in love, there is no law. Amen.
Yes.
There's no law against love. And so I would just say, stay encouraged. You know, in regards to finances, sow your seed. The word of God is true.
Yes.
You know, the tithe is not the seed. It's not where the harvest comes in at. It's in that offering. The tithe belongs to God, but he gives you free will. He doesn't put a number on it. He doesn't put a percentage on that offering. Therefore, you determine your harvest by the offering that you sow. And I guarantee you, the ram in the bush, what you're looking for, your house, your car, whatever it is that you're looking for, God, you're being debt-free, hallelujah, being provided for, that ram in the bush, that's the ram in the bush, is always, always, always greater than the offering, than the sacrifice. You may sacrifice $5. That might be a huge sacrifice for you. But that ram in the bush, hallelujah, as you're walking up that mountain to higher ground, that's symbolic of going up higher in Christ, as you're walking up that hill, as you're walking and you're striving for, you know, to serve God, not just in mouth, but in deeds and in offerings and your tithe. I'm telling you right now, as you walk up the hill, when Abraham was walking up there with Isaac to go sacrifice him, he didn't know that the ram was on the other side coming up with him. He didn't know he didn't see it coming.
Yes.
Amen. And your ram in the bush will always be greater than your sacrifice.
Yes.
Always. Right. Always, always, always. And so I would just say to you, just trust God in everything, not just in what you do, not just in what you, the reading of the word and seeking his face, but also worship him and give him what belongs to him, and he will make sure that what belongs to you comes. And I'll say it like this. As you move, he'll move just like that. As you move, he'll move just like that.
Amen.
Slow to give, and stuff starts getting slow to come in.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, we do thank you for calling. We come to that point of the show where we usually have Crossroad Temple right after Spiritual Sunday. Crossroad Temple is another show. But this evening we will not be having Crossroad Temple. Those of you that were listening from the beginning part of the show, in our prayers, you know, we're definitely calling up Brother Scribby Hunter. He has lost five close members around him, family members, some best friends, and a lot of things have happened in his life, and we're definitely calling up his name in prayer so that he will continue just to, you know, stay focused. And he does know, I mean, I've been reading some of his posts, and he knows that God is not, you know, it's not leaving him. God is right there, right with him. So he does know it, and we are thankful, you know, for him. And, you know, our team push is there. We're trying to push everybody to elevate them to the next level and at the same time push ourselves. We're going to just ask a special guest to close in prayer. Dr. Mitch, I'm not sure where he went, but I guess his call dropped. But we do thank him for calling in and sharing his testimony. What a powerful testimony it was. And, you know, once everyone listens to the archives, you know, we truly welcome everyone to call in and to come together on one accord here on GQ Power Spiritual Sunday, you know, as well as we believe in supporting one another in their ministries and in their ventures of whatever it is that they may be doing. Our special guest is going to end in prayer, but I'm also going to give her the chance to give out her information as well so we can support her ministry. Also, as the special guest does pray, I'm definitely going to call up a couple of names, Richard Archibald. I'm going to definitely mention your name in prayer again. And just remember that God is in control and he's on your side. And, you know, the struggle. The best things and the blessings, you know, they're not meant to come easily. Sometimes they come by us struggling to elevate to get to the next level. So I'm definitely praying for you. And with the insulin and the diabetes, I'm praying for you. And I hope that, you know, we do figure out a way to, you know, take your medicine and stuff the easy way. But, of course, as we all know, there's no easy way. Everything comes at a cost. So,
amen.
We're thankful and we're praying for you. And I would be in big trouble if I didn't mention Little Destiny, because she's been struggling trying to do this back handspring, and we've been praying that God gives her the strength and helps her with her patience, and as she says, confidence. She's praying for confidence to be able to help her with her back handspring, as well as we're just praying for all of our family and all our loved ones, and we're praying for everyone. So we're going to, I'm just going to say thank you for everyone for calling this evening, and we're going to turn the floor over to Dr. Deborah so she can give her information out, and then we'll close in prayer. T, did you have anything you wanted to say?
I'm so full right now. I'm just thankful for everything. You know, and I just want you all to keep me in prayer as with this toxic smoking, you know. Pray that I will get the strength, because it's all on me right now, to turn it loose.
That's right. We're praying for you with the whole smoke thing, and we're just praying, you know, for you with your health and strength. Just to be able to, you know, continue the everyday, you know, struggle, the everyday test of time. You know, we're definitely praying for you, and, you know, your healing as well with the surgery, you know, and everything. We're praying for you. More than just the smoking, because we're going to need you to heal and the smoking all at the same time.
But I know God has got it all in control. You know, he got my back through it all.
That's right. And of course, I would be in big trouble if I didn't mention Rachel, because she called in singing to me today, No Weapons, and I'm definitely proud of her.
Yes,
we're praying for her. Yeah, we're praying for her with her, just her wisdom, just wisdom and discernment. And as she says, God's grace and mercy. So we're praying for them. And now we're going to turn the floor over to our special guest, Dr. Deborah.
Lavina.
Yes, ma'am. And Brother Barry.
Barry said that he wanted to thank GQ Palace family and God for all that they have done for him.
Oh, Brother Barry. We thank you, Brother Barry. And we're praying for you, Brother Barry, because you're going to need some strength to deal with Sister T over there. I tell you. But we're praying for you. It's all
Amen.
But Brother Barry, you're doing an excellent job, and as you guys both walk your spiritual walk, I'm very proud of you, and I know God is pleased.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so now we're really going to turn the floor over to Dr. Deborah. I'm sorry, Dr. Deborah.
That's okay. Enjoy God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Laughter is medicine and laughter, so amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, we give you glory. Father, we thank you for this radio broadcast. God, we thank you so much for reaching out to those, hallelujah, that are reaching out to you. And we ask by your Holy Spirit of God that you will move mightily on their behalf. God, I ask that the wind of the Holy Spirit of God, the breath of God, will blow throughout the land, throughout the territory, around the globe, hallelujah, to those who are listening on this radio, hallelujah, conference call. And God, I thank you so much on this broadcast that you would just touch and deliver those, hallelujah, in the matchless name of Jesus, that the fire of God rests out, that your Holy Spirit of God, with fire will go forward and burn out every infirmity. Touch the bodies, touch the hearts of the people, touch their bodies in their physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah, that the consuming fire of the Most High God will come in and consume their praise, consume their prayers, consume the situation, Father God, and where the enemy is coming against them. We come against backlashing, retaliation, and counterattack. We ask, Father God, that each and every person who has a prayer request, Father God, you know them intimately, and we ask you by your Holy Spirit to go in and minister strength where they need strength. Hallelujah. Minister health where they need healing, Father God. Minister encouragement where they are being discouraged. We come against the spirit of depression, suppression, oppression, and depression in the name of Jesus, and suppression as well. And we cause that thing to loose them and let them go. We call that thing to be loose in Jesus' name. And now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we release, hallelujah, for the spirit of heaviness, we ask you for the garment of praise. Hallelujah. Erasta, Father God, every habit we see to that flesh. In the name of Jesus, Father God, and no, there's in the flesh there lies no good thing. So, God, we thank you right now. Hallelujah. That by your Holy Spirit of God, I ask that you minister, Father God, to the soulish realm. We come against every habit. Hallelujah. Rasta, the cravings of the bodies. In the name of Jesus, God, we ask that you burn it out right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask that you bless those. Hallelujah. Rasta, reckon that they have, that you bless them in all that they put their hands to do for you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you. We speak to the north, the south, the east, and to the west. And we ask for increase and, hallelujah, increase in multiplication, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Not so we can hoard it up and say, look how much God has blessed me, but that your word will be, hallelujah, fulfilled, that we'll be blessed to be a blessing. And I ask, Father God, that you raise up intercessors for this broadcast, that you raise up intercessors for this woman of God, hallelujah, and that you will cause these intercessions to go on the front line and pray, hallelujah, a wall of protection, a prayer wall, in the name of Jesus, God. I ask that prayer will become consumed, let it be a wall of fire, and that it will quench every fiery dart of the wicked one for all that have been on this broadcast, and for the woman of God, hallelujah, whom you have selected, and I give you praise, hallelujah. Let her voice go around the world again and again and again, hallelujah. With the anointing of breakthrough, I speak to you people of God that are having breakdowns. I say no more breakdowns, only breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I come against every demonic force, every court case that is stacked up against them, and I speak a breakthrough in that court case in the name of Jesus. I speak to everyone who's in the hospital who is sick. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. God, I ask that you back up your word with signs following. You said in Isaiah that you said that you will, that you will perform with your hands with that which you have spoken with your mouth. And God, so not let it be my words, but let it be your words by the Holy Ghost, that they will have breakthroughs and no more breakdowns. Hallelujah, that they have provisions, hallelujah, and let them know they don't have to be poor no more, but that you are providing for them, hallelujah, Jehovah Jireh, I give you praise, hallelujah, Rakash, God, I thank you right now that you're ministering strength to the weak, because you said, Father God, in our weaknesses, that's where you are made strong. When we can't do nothing about the situation, Father God, we can just praise you and thank you for being in our midst, and you will fight our battles for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father God. I thank you for every spiritual warfare is now been tagged as victorious in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And though the enemy may come at us one way, Father God, you have made a promise that they will, when we submit ourselves to you, hallelujah, resist the devil, then, Father God, he shall flee. He has no choice but to flee. And, God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for the love and for the unity of the saints. I thank you for this woman of God, Father God, that you will bless her and that you will provide for her and that you will cause an offering to be picked up and given to her for her labor of love, and God, that she can go forward and do what you have called her to do, to expand, hallelujah, to pursue. I speak to you people of God right now. I speak to everyone under the sound of my voice that God is allowing, hallelujah, glory to God. The word of God says that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it back by force. So the command now to you is this, to pursue, to overtake, and to recover all in the name of Jesus. And we seal this in the blood which brought us out of that mess. Hallelujah. We seal it in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Which breaks every yoke and destroys every yoke of bondages. Hallelujah. And we seal it in the word of God, which will never come back to God void. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I do, if you want to give your information out, it would be
amen.
Wonderful.
I thank you for that. The name of the ministry is Kingdom Warriors Uttering Miracles. We're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. It's a ministry of restoration, and it's a prophetic, it's a prophetic ministry in that we have calls. Our phone number at our Block Talk radio broadcast is every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Friday. And then we have every fourth Saturday for War Cry, and then we have a Man Cave on the second Saturday, and then we have Woman Thou Art Healed, hallelujah, to get married. Actually, it's the Esther project that God has us doing. And so God is increasing the ministry time. Thursday is my day off. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a prayer line that we do also every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 8 o'clock California time. You can go on my, if you can just go ahead and go on my Facebook, you can see it. It's called Dunamis Power. It's called the Apostolic Prophetic Hallelujah Highly Anointed Prayer Line. We pray at 8 o'clock my time, California time, I should say, and that's to accommodate others. Amen. And God is just doing some awesome things. I mean, literally. I mean, the people of God, you know, they're growing. People are growing. Hallelujah. They're winning more battles. Yeah. Hallelujah. Not just spiritual battles, but also physical battles. Mm-hmm. God is covering the whole spectrum. So we're having a good time.
Amen. Excellent. Excellent. Amen. And we'll definitely make sure that I'll put the link up on my wall so that everyone can have it as well. Now, the Highly Anointed, now, is that for everyone that wants to call or?
Everybody who wants to call and join in on like I said, Monday through Friday. It's every day we have prayer, and it's becoming more and more anointed. I tell you, God is really, truly moving, and it's prayer. Anybody who wants to call in to get prayer,
okay.
Hallelujah. God had us to get me to go ahead and start that because I was getting calls throughout, and he said, just start prayer. And once we did that, woman of God, it's like the ministry just took off. Hallelujah. And so we're excited about what God is doing.
All right. Yeah. We are excited, too, and we wish you, of course, much success. And I'm going to share the link. I'm going to go on your wall and see if I can get it off of there and put it on my wall. And then, of course, share it with some of the GQ Palace family as well. We have
established
11. What do we have, 9 different shows, 11 different hosts, I think it is? Oops. I'm not even going to try and do that. But Saturday is our day of rest. But I'm not even going to try and do all the shows because I'm not prepared for that. So I'm just going to say Saturday is our day of rest, but we have a show every day of the week. So it's the same number also, the 646-200-3838. And, of course, we're giving God all the glory for this wonderful show that we've had this evening. And we wish... Thank you. We wish everyone to have a blessed and safe week, and we look forward to speaking to some of you guys next week. And have a blessed week, everyone.
God
bless you.
Amen. Amen. Love you.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye-bye. Bye. Good night.
Good night. As soon as I can get the song ready.
What happened?
I think our executive producer went to sleep. A switchboard operator?
Exactly.
Switchboard operator? Can we get a song?
Can we get the
In Jesus' song? Name? In Jesus' name? Can we have a song? Switchboard operator? All right. Well, have a blessed
Well, I guess
week.
That's
I guess that was a no.
If it's God's will, I'll talk to you in the morning.
All right. Well, I'll be listening in the morning, Partisan Prayer Global Ministry.
Exactly. I'll be there, too.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Good night.
Love you. Night.
Love you, too.
I'm trying.